Hola, hola, hola. This is Kim for Kiss and Tell. Today I'm tuning in with Evan again for another exciting episode discussing topics inspired by MTV Guy Code episode 11. And today, what we're talking about, guys? The favorite thing that you guys are here for. Talking about how to be single. I know, actually a lot of you guys are already single, so that's why you're listening to this show. But we're going to talk about the pros and the cons of being single and what you should think about when you're being single. In other news, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what to do if you have limited sexual experience and how you can get better. And also, we'll talk a little bit about meeting the parents. Ooh la la. How many of you guys actually has met the parents? So, here goes Evan. Evan, what's going on today?
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
So, Evan, you and I, we like being single, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
What do you mean it's okay? It's great. What are you talking about?
No, being single has a lot of perks, of course. You know, you're not tied down. You definitely have room and freedom to do what you want to do and when you want to do it, for the most part, other than your other obligations. And so, you know, yeah, there's definitely advantages to it. But at the same time, there's also frustration to it, too. Sometimes, you know, it's Friday night, you got no place to go, and you see everybody else coupled up, and you're like, when is it going to be me, and blah, 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 and, you know, and I think ultimately, you know, we all want to find that right person, and sometimes if you're single for too long, you start questioning yourself and saying, am I going to find that right person? You know, sometimes it seems like it's an impossible challenge sometimes.
You know, real quick, actually, do you consider yourself more of a relationship kind of guy or more like a single type of guy?
I think I consider myself more of a relationship type of guy. I mean, and that's okay. Certainly how I've been in the past. I thrive off of connection. You know, I thrive off of you know, meaningful interactions with people in my life. And that's just what I value.
You know, that's interesting because I personally am more of a relationship kind of guy too, but I go in and out of that, I think. I love the intimacy of a really good girlfriend. I love the feeling of connectiveness, the feeling of support, especially if you know how to pick your girlfriends good. And this is a completely different topic, but guys, if you keep on dating the same kind of girls and you keep on having crazy girls in your life, I think it's time to reevaluate what you're projecting to the world or how you're quote-unquote marketing yourself to the opposite sex. But in my life, I've been very blessed to have awesome girlfriends. I mean, you've met some of them. But today, I don't want to talk about girlfriends. I want to talk about being single. Because a lot of you guys are listening to this podcast are actually single for a reason. You're terrible at dating. And let's be real. I mean, we all sucked at some point. We learned somehow, somewhere. And I want to give it to Evan for a minute. But Evan, you know, you've actually worked with me before, you know, on asking me for tips or personal advice on your personal social and dating life. How did your mindset on being single change from when you were, quote unquote, not as good to now when I would say you're pretty damn good? You know, do you see the world differently when you're single?
Well, yes. I mean, certainly, you know, having more experience and getting some skills under your belt makes you just feel better overall about being single because, you know, you realize you have choice. You realize you have options and you realize that you can get the girl. And so, of course, I mean, that definitely makes you feel better. You know, I had, you know, we all have various issues. You know, one of the things that I was kind of you know, that you certainly opened my mind to was just, you know, in terms of being the lover, of being sexual, of embracing that side of yourself. That's something that I think a lot of people have trouble with initially. Not everybody, but a lot of people have trouble tapping into that. And, you know, that's certainly something that you're extremely good at and getting people to recognize in themselves.
Well, thank you, Evan. I didn't expect that from you, but thank you. You know, it's very interesting because I'll share a little bit of myself too. You know, I wasn't always good with women, and I still don't consider myself very good with women actually. But I will say I'm better than I used to be, And, you know, for a lot of you guys, I know how it feels. I know how it feels like when you haven't had a girlfriend for a while, or if you haven't dated in a long time, or if you've never dated for that matter, being single feels kind of like a curse. Because, you know, you see your buddy or your other, you know, have girlfriends, or they tell you about sexual experiences, and you are like, man, why can't I do that? Or why is he such a player and why am I not? You know, I mean, every guy feels that, right? And then you meet one of your female friends, and when you're not good with women, most guys in that stage are like, oh, I wish you would notice me. You know, I wish she would notice me. I wish that she would realize that the good guy that she's been wanting all her life is right next to her. And those feelings are usually feelings of more desperation because you actually don't know what you're doing. I mean, I hate to say it, that's how I used to think back in college. I used to have those same feelings. But what I want to bring you to be aware of is being single is not a curse. Being single, first and foremost, is a world of opportunities. And for you to recognize that, you need to know that opportunities are there if you can recognize them, for one, and two, if you know how to seize them, right? And you guys are going to tell me, well, I actually don't know how to seize them. I'm nice all the time. I do things for girls. And I mean, and the truth is this, guys. Women do not react to nice people. Yes, let me rephrase that a little bit. But everybody likes somebody who's nice. Okay, we like people to be considerate. We like people to do nice gestures towards us. But this is not what we remember people for, at least initially, right? We like people to be colorful. We like to be entertained by somebody. We like to have fun with somebody. We like to be able to do crazy things with somebody. We like to, quote unquote, live, have crazy experiences. And this is the first thing I want to share with you guys for those who are actually trying to learn to be better right now. It's like, first of all, you need to live more. Because if you're the kind of guy who always have a lot of secret loves, secret crushes, or who always in that position where I wish somebody would notice me, it usually means you're not very memorable. You're not doing anything for people to notice you. You're actually afraid of the limelight. Whereas people who are confident, people who has lived a little bit, we're a little bit of full of ourselves. We're a little bit of self-delusional. I know Evan and I talk about this all the time. I used to have a buddy, actually. His name was Blair. He's half black, half white. And I learned a lot from him. He was one of these guys. He's a pretty good looking, you know, because, you know, mixed races are always very good looking. But if you talk about, is he like the most good looking guy I've ever seen? Like, actually, no, he's good looking in that kind of average kind of way, like a slight above average kind of way. But the crazy thing that I noticed about him, like, no matter what we talked about, no matter what girl he talks to, no matter what situation he thinks about, he always told me, like, dude, that girl is so feeling me. Kim, did you notice that? That girl was so feeling me. Like she was coming back and talking to me. And at first, before I knew him well enough, I'm like, wow, this guy must be a player or something. Turns out, he doesn't hook up as often as you think he does. But again, it's the way he thinks of himself. You know, I'm like, that guy must be the biggest delusional guy I've seen. I'm like, I've heard women say, oh, he's nice, he's pretty cool, but he's not like all that. But the way he filters his experiences towards himself is like, dude, I got that. And then I used to laugh with him because, like, when something doesn't work out with a girl, he always goes like, man, that girl was hating on me. Oh, like, I got hated on, man. I got hated on because this and this and this happened. I'm like, I don't think he got hated on by anybody else but himself or by any circumstances. But the way he filters it is like he has the skill to get any woman that he wants and everybody likes him. You know, and it's something that all of us need to learn to have. Love ourselves more. Now, you're going to tell me, like, well, I'm pretty sure I have a high self-esteem and I like myself. I'm like, do you really? Because I used to think that way. I mean, Evan, I mean, do you see that in yourself before at all?
In what sense?
Meaning, like, you know, you thought you really liked yourself, but you realized that you weren't loving yourself enough?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. I mean, you know, we're oftentimes our toughest critic. And I think I'm pretty introspective about it, though. I think I'm pretty aware of when I'm liking myself, when I'm not liking myself. So I wouldn't say that I was mistaken about it. You know, I'm pretty in tune with that.
Okay. Well, my point is this, guys. First of all, for you guys to love yourself, you need to gain more experience in life. And I'm not talking about getting more experience playing video games, getting more experience reading. I mean, reading and playing games and going to the movies, all of those are great things. But I'm talking about go get yourself in trouble, is what I'm saying. That's what I mean by getting experience. I mean, like, do something that you've never done and fail at it and mess up at it. Because you know what? That what makes you colorful. And guess what? Those failures, those mishaps, those stumbles, or actually what you're going to talk about to the girls. That's a story you're going to like, oh my God, you never know what happened to me last night or the other day or 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago or a few years ago. You know, because that's what makes you interesting, because people get a feel for who you are if you have great little mess ups. If your life is clean as a nearly washed vase, then I'm sorry, you're boring.
Pure as the driven snow, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I couldn't think of the expression, but yeah, exactly. So, being single, guys, is an opportunity. You need to realize that. So the first thing you got to ask yourself, what do I want to do today? What do I want to do tomorrow? What are some of the things in my city I haven't done? What are those things in my life I've always wanted to do? Have you always wanted to learn how to salsa dance? Have you always wanted to skydive? Have you always wanted to go to a music concert and do a mosh pit? If you haven't done it yet, next week, actually today is a day where you set it on your calendar. This is what I'm going to do in tomorrow, next day, or for next month. Because you know what? That's actually one of the first few things I tell some of my very newbie clients. I always ask them to look up at the things they want to do in their city and start planning for 4 weeks in advance what they're going to do. Obviously, not all commitments are going to be held, but it's the idea of having something to do. Because guess what? On Mondays, when you come back from a weekend, what is the first thing that all your coworkers ask you every weekend? Hey, what did you do last weekend? You know, if you're talking about, oh, I just watched a movie, oh, I didn't do anything and nothing really happened, then you're failing to make an impression on somebody. You're failing on making yourself memorable. And I'm not saying you need to be like crazy exciting every weekend. But even watching a movie, are you just saying like, hey, I just watched a movie. Like, I actually watched Judge Dredd with my dad this weekend. But if I talk about it to my friends, I'm not, depend on who I'm talking to. I'm not going to just talk about that. I'm going to talk about all the other things I've done. I'm going to talk about like, how crazy the movie was or how brilliant it was or how terrible it was. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You have to have a real opinion and make sure people know it. Because you know what? That's how people are going to get a sense of who you are. And that's how they're going to like you more. You know what? Because if you paint yourself that way, most likely people are going to see you as a real person, as a genuine person, not somebody who hides behind like, oh, I'm nice, I'm great, or whatever it is that you do. Now, being single, if you're talking about, you know, your intermediate guys out there, you know, it's like, again, opportunities. You can go out with any woman that you want as often as you want, and you don't have to be accountable with anybody. You don't have to check in with somebody. I mean, when's the last time you check in with somebody, Evan? Except checking in with me.
Yeah. Yeah, on our Twitter accounts. I don't know. Actually, it's funny. I mean, everybody likes to check in nowadays with their Facebook status, so maybe that's not such a bad thing anyway.
But the point is, if you're not stepping out of the house when you're single, you're missing on so much. Actually, I had a huge conversation with one of the girls I was dating, because she was telling me how she loves sleep and how she wants to sleep and sometimes she really needs to sleep. And I'm like, listen, babe, sometimes it's okay not to sleep, you know, because how often are you going to do XYZ? And the XYZ would be the event that I'm talking about, or the outing with my friends I'm talking about. Or it might be the date that I'm planning with her. You know, she'd be, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, yeah, you can sleep on the weekend. You can catch up. You know, but that's, again, an attitude thing. How are you viewing yourself? How are you viewing life as a single person? Yes, you're not necessarily going to be the super duper player who's going to sleep with a girl every fucking night, because right now you suck. But at the same time, why don't you try? You know, that's a big difference between somebody who's good and somebody who's not. Somebody who's good actually likes to try. He's having fun trying to talk to people. He's having fun just shooting the shit with some random person at the bar or at the bus station or wherever we're at, right? They are having fun just getting in trouble with somebody, you know? And that's what you need to think about when you're single. Single is not a curse. Yes, I myself would love to have a girlfriend right now. But I also realize there's a lot of things I want to work on right now that are not dating related. And I'm okay being single because, again, I see it as like, hey, no commitments just means more fun. Anything else you want to say, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely important that guys get comfortable with being by themselves, of being alone. And, you know, it's, you know, depending on, you know, the type of person you are, that's easier for some people and not as easy for others. But you want to try, you need to be comfortable in your own skin. You need to be comfortable alone. You need to be able to do things on your own and enjoy it, even though you have nobody there. And that's something that I actually have been able to achieve. I'm pretty self-sufficient. And so I enjoy doing things, whether there's somebody there or not. And that's actually, I think, a really good quality to embrace. And in many ways, it's good because you've got now stuff going on and you have a life that now you can share with somebody else. And that part makes it really exciting.
You know, actually, you remind me of a very good analogy. Think of yourself as a train in motion. By stepping out of the house, having things and doing things on your own. And I challenge you guys right now, go to the movies on your own if you've never done it. Go to a concert on your own if you've never done it. Go to a happy hour on your own if you've never done it. Because, the first time, you're probably going to be feeling pretty self-conscious. Like, God damn it, everybody's having their friends with them. I'm by myself drinking this $3 beer. You know, but the truth is this. That's only the first two or three times you're going to feel like that. If you do it four or five or six times, you're going to realize, oh, shit. There's a girl next to me. Oh, shit. There's another guy next to me. He seems pretty interesting. Let me chat up with him. Because you know what? That's what I had to learn to do. I had to learn to do all these things by myself so that, you know what? I can be a train in motion. And I'm a train in motion with a direction because I'm the one who chose to go to this bar, or to this happy hour, whatever it is that I chose to. And you know what? By being the driving train, the locomotive, you know, how do you say that? I don't even say
the locomotive, yeah.
There you go. I can't even say that. See, excuse my French accent. then you can have people get on board with you. That's the beauty of going out alone. You have the ability to engage people and be like, hey, why don't you come out with me? I'm fun. You know, and I'm going to show you a fun time because you know what? I know where to go. So guys, being single is not always a curse. It can be a great thing. Now, before I switch to the other topic, I do want to say, make a comment on something because in MTV Guys Code, one guy did say like, you know what? There's one negative about being single is sometimes when you get too comfortable with your freedom. Meaning like you're single for so long that people are going to ask you like, why have you been single for so long? What is wrong with you? I mean, does it ever bug you, Evan, when you meet somebody and they've been single for a long time?
No, I don't. It doesn't bug me. You know, I think people oftentimes wonder why I'm single and why don't you have a girlfriend? And, you know, those kind of questions you'll get from your family, those kind of questions you may get from your friends, you know.
Little do they know how much you hook up, right?
Little do they know.
I'm just kidding. He's not a player, guys. I just have to tease him.
In any case, wait, what was the question? No, I... Now you're making me blush.
The question was getting too comfortable with your freedom and being single too long.
No, I you know, I mean, it's I don't look at people like a job resume or anything like that, where there's a big gap in their employment or something like that. It's just not what it's about. I mean, people take time to explore themselves, like we're talking about, and that's a really good thing. I actually rather be with somebody who knows themselves and has had the time to give themselves personal development experiences, and so I think. You know, the richer, you know, somebody is in terms of life experiences that they had independently, I think that's actually a really good thing and is something that is attractive. Like I said, I mean, I think a great relationship is two people sharing their lives with each other. And so somebody who's taken the time and not, you know, relied on the crutch of a relationship to fill some sort of void, I think is oftentimes better for it.
You know, that's kind of interesting because I guess you're just good at reminding me of things today, Evan. But, you know, in MTV Geico, they talk about, you know, like the red flag of meeting somebody who's been single for too long. You know, but how come nobody talks about the red flag of meeting somebody who's been in constant relationships? You know, like the serial, you know, girlfriend.
Serial monogamous.
Yeah, serial monogamous, you know, like... I've know a few people who like go from boyfriend to boyfriend or girlfriend to girlfriend, and I'm like, you're never single, and I'm like, there is no way in 1 month that you just easy grieve that previous relationship, especially if supposedly it meant that much to you, right? So you're just basically replacing the previous one with a Band-Aid so you can forget about the previous one and then jump into the next one, right? So. You know, a lot of people talk about being single as a bad thing, but you know what? If you meet somebody who's constantly in relationship, that could be a bad thing too.
Yeah.
You know, so think about that, guys. I don't want to go into that topic today because, again, we can talk so much on that. But think about that as well. The real point here is no matter which side of the fence you are, whether you've been a serial monogamist or whether you've been a long-term single person, you need to be comfortable in your own skin. If you want to know, I'm actually going on 2 years being quote-unquote single, but I haven't been quote-unquote single for 2 years at the same time because I've hooked up with a few girls here and there, right? So does that make, is there something wrong with me, Evan? I don't think so because you know my situation. I think I'm working on something else and I'm trying not to be distracted by relationships. So that's totally different, right? Whereas... You know, Evan is going on, what, a year and a half, you know? And same thing, he had a lot of life changes in him that he wanted to tackle first, right? So, guys, don't feel bad about being single. Look at it as opportunities, because the more you go out, the more you do things, that girlfriend will come eventually. Who cares? They'll come. Don't worry. And if he doesn't come, that's when you come talk to me, because let's talk about this great comment from one of the guys on MTV Code. He had, this is a public service announcement to all the virgins out there. And I mean, he didn't say it like that, but I'm rephrasing it. He's like, for all the virgins out there who don't know what they're doing in the bedroom and they're scared of going out and dating that girl because they don't know what they're doing in the bedroom, let me tell you a real secret. No one knows what they're doing in the bedroom. But all I know is that's going to be fun. And you know what? Right now, I want to make another big, 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 big point for all of you guys listening in today. There is a way you can get better. There is a way you can bridge the gap between feeling that fear of not knowing what you're doing in the bedroom, which is actually stopping you from going out and talking to that girl, or even if you're a girl, talking to that guy, because most girls want to please their man as well. I mean, I don't know how often women feels that need, but I do know that I met a girl once, and she was a virgin when I met her, and she told me, yeah, I actually had to look up some porn up so I could learn how to do have a basic understanding of blowjob, because for my first time, I didn't want to come across as clueless. So there is something to be said about that, about, you know, if you are a late bloomer, I should speak, because I myself was a late bloomer. There are things you can do to bridge the gaps. You can, quote-unquote, get up to speed and feel more in line with your peers. But before I get into that, let me ask you, Evan, have you ever had issues with feeling insecure about, like, well, can I really move it forward because I don't know what's going to happen next, especially in the bedroom?
Oh, in terms of not knowing how to get from A to B, that
yes,
kind of thing?
Yes, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think, my very first experience, actually, it was very interesting. My girlfriend in college was my introduction to all things losing my virginity. And I guess at the time, I guess I didn't have fears in that sense. I just, I was really clueless, to be honest. I had really no idea what was happening. And to her credit, I mean, she was kind of, she was a very sexual person. And so in many ways, it was actually...
We got to wonder how she learned that.
Yeah, sure. I think we know. But, she was actually very good for me in that sense. Because she introduced me to a whole lot of things that I really just had no clue about whatsoever. So I guess I didn't really have that insecurity in the sense that I was just not even – I was not even in that mindset that I had any idea, you know, what the – I mean, I obviously had a basic understanding. But, in terms of any actual technique or anything like that, she was a good introduction. And in some sense, I was – like I said, not insecure because I wasn't even the ballpark of of what was going to be happening.
Well, let me bring attention to this. For most guys, when it comes to the bedroom, I love to say that having a lot of experience is the surefire way to give you confidence in the bedroom. But the truth is, it's not actually. You can meet women or even men who had a lot of partners. That doesn't make them good in the bedroom. Because some of these people who actually had a lot of partners, they're kind of like pump and dump. They like the excitement, the ecstasy of having that quick rush. And because they like that quick rush, they actually don't know the depth of a good sexual experience. How good it can really feel if you manage to make it an experience, actually. And so, for a lot of you out there who don't have a lot of experience, whether you're man or woman, just know this. Good sex is about attitude and knowledge. What do I mean by attitude? And by attitude, I mean, the way you feel about yourself, first of all. Do you feel you're likable? Right? Do you feel people should like you? Do you feel that people would be lucky to be with you? And why? Now, this is a bit more advanced, but I hate to say it, but after some experience and after studying a lot about sex and other topics related to it, one of the primary reason I am better than I used to be with dating is for this very simple belief that I have now. And you guys know what it is? It's very simple. I believe any girl would be lucky with me because I can pretty much guarantee she's going to have an awesome time in the bedroom. Do I know that for a fact I'm going to be the best for her? No, but that's what I believe. And you know how I got to that mindset? Again, it's because of my sheer dedication in wanting to please, in wanting to make it a great experience for the woman. Right? So even if you've never had sex in your life, even before you encounter that first sexual encounter, you can know a lot. And I'm not talking about watching porn, because porn is terrible as a learning tool for most people. But there's books out there you can read. There are sex education videos you can watch. There are friends you can talk to. The friends that are actually open to talking about the sexual experience. If you let go of your ego, and be open to listening, you will learn a lot. And if you want to know a little thing that I don't tell a lot of people, my biggest jump in my ability to be good at dating is when I started to learn a lot about sex. I mean, yeah, I knew how to talk to people. Yeah, I knew how to, get a phone number. Yeah, I knew how to set up a date. But there's always that, what do I do to go from going out with a girl and having a fun time to actually making her feel sexy and making her want to take her clothes off? I don't know about you guys. I don't know about a lot of you guys, but learning about sex is what bridged the gap for me from just going out to, all right, we're going to have fuck now. So think about that. If you haven't, again, looked into that, there's a lot of things. I'll give you a recommendation right now, and this is a free recommendation because I'm not affiliated with any of these people. But David Shade from masterful-lover.com has great books on how women feel about sex. How do you turn on a woman emotionally so that you can feel empowered and in the bedroom with a woman? Daniel Rose from sexgodmethod.com has another great book called The Sex God Method. Read that. And he's, again, very similar to David Shea, but his book is a lot shorter. He divides, you know, the sexual experience in what he called DEVI for dominant, emotion, variety, and immersion. Again, not going to go into that, but that was a great eye-opener for me. And actually, it was a great eye-opener for Evan as well. Because if you want to know, at a certain point in my coaching or working with a client, I always make them read at least one of this book. Usually I get them to read Sex God Method first because it's a lot shorter than the other books. And it's a great primer. And for most men, they're like, whoa, I never knew this. It's a very simple concept about how to turn sex into an experience because you know how to engage the woman's emotions. Okay? If you like more visual, there's a bunch of things from the Sinclair Institute. I'm sure any sex store, reputable sex store should have. I think loversguide.com, which is a British-based website, has a lot of videos you can quote-unquote rent. That has some very good instructionals as well. And the reason I tell you guys this is not to tell you like, oh my God, you need to be a great lover before you can date. That's not true. But if you're a late bloomer, that will help you get more confidence without actually having dates to support your confidence level. It's a weird thing, but knowing in fact that, hey, you know what? I think I can lead in the bedroom. I think I can do stuff in the bedroom even though I really don't know. That will bridge that gap. And maybe that's just a little gap that you needed to bridge to actually go from casually going out with some of the female friends you have to actually turning them on and making them into like more than just friends. So, Evan, anything you want to add to that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that men and women both make a mistake when they try to run away from their sexual identity, and it's you know. I heard somebody tell me that, you know, you're never going to know a woman completely unless, you know, you sleep with her. And I really believe that's true because...
Did I say that to you?
I don't think so.
You remind me of a friend of mine. A great friend of mine used to tell me, you never know a woman until you've been in and out of her, inside of her or something like that. But
yeah, it's not to be crude about it. It's just the idea being that sexuality is a basic component of human nature, and unless you connect with somebody on that level, you're missing a level of connection with them. Now, of course, you're not going to have that with everybody, but the people that you do have that with, you have something special with that people who haven't connected with somebody on that level don't have. And so I think people make a mistake to try to hide that aspect of themselves. I'm not saying you flaunt it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, that's something that you make a mistake by failing to connect with yourself about. And so I think it's important that that you do take a look at those materials because they contain a lot of really great ideas and concepts and information about being in touch with that aspect of yourself, which is a very important component of interactions in a dating context.
You know, you make me think, because I had this great discussion a few years ago about the idea of romance. You know, when you're a teenager, the idea of romance is falling in love and loving somebody so much that you want to spend every waking moment with them, right? But as you grow more of an adult, I mean, I still have that belief that you want to spend every waking moment with them, but it's not so innocent. Like, the idea of romance for most adults, like, I think I want to fuck her. You know, and again, I don't remember where I got this, whether it's from a book or from talking to so many people that I talked to. But somebody told me, I think somebody told me, that romance is the politically correct woman way for a woman to say, I'm looking for somebody to fuck. Like, oh, I want to feel romantic. I want to feel like, you know, all these nice positive emotions of love and stuff. But that's really dumb because they are sexual creatures. They have needs too. But that's the one way they can say so that we don't get offended as men or to think of them as quote-unquote sluts. Because you know how you know, in this world, that world is very taboo. But Evan, you had a great point. It's like, you know, no matter what you do in your dating life, don't neglect the sexual relationship you have with yourself, for one, and then with the other person. Because, you know, some psychologists have talked about how sex is a glue in the relationship. I don't know if it's a glue or the you know, like, it's like a chicken and egg problem. Is a sex making to a relation a good relationship, or is it the good relationship that makes it into a great sex? I mean, we can debate about that. But the point is, it is definitely an integral component of a great relationship. Because without it, I'll be honest with you, all my greatest relationships always had the greatest sex I've had. This is why I never complain about sex, because if I do complain about sex, that girl is not my girlfriend. Now on that, let's finish off with something much more tame, much more, I guess, much less taboo, which is meeting the parents. So, what do you guys thought of meeting the parents? I know in MTV Guy Code, they always talk about being on your best behavior, getting in with a dad. There was a conflicting, one girl said, don't flirt with a mom because you want to be nice to the mom, but not flirt with a mom. And then there's the other dude that said, oh, you definitely want to flirt with a mom, you know, because, you know, she'll be all flattered and everything else. So, Evan, what's your take on this whole meeting the parents? Do you have any philosophy on this? Do you have any, like, cool experience to share? I mean, what's your take?
No, I honestly don't. I think that it's circumstantial. You got to play it by ear, and you got to, I mean, sure, of course you want to make a good impression, but...
Well, here's a question. Is that a job interview?
No, I don't think you should treat it like a job interview. Hopefully not. Of course you're going to feel... of course, you're going to feel awkward. I mean, I think that you just got to be yourself. I mean, I think you just got to treat it like it's a date. You know, I think that's the mindset. Just like in a date, you're going to be yourself. I think you just try to be yourself and hope for the best.
You know, it's interesting because, as I said, on MTV Geico, they gave great tips that is, I personally feel so old school. They talked about, like, you know, dressing nice, you know. I mean, again, first impressions do count, so I'm not saying not to dress nails, but it seemed like they went a little bit overboard with it, like, oh, if you have tattoos, make sure you cover them up and all that good stuff, you know. And I kind of disagree with that, because the truth is simple. The parents are going to find out who you are anyway, just like she found out who you are anyway. And if she dates you, that means she likes you. So why are you trying to change the person you are just to impress the parents? And second, here's a very wild, wild idea. If she likes you, shouldn't her parents like you too? I mean, I know it sounds weird because technically you are always looking for the approval from the parents, right? But if a woman or a man really loves you, they will take your side. Because the truth is, once you enter a romantic relationship, you're building a future together. Right? You and her, or him and you, right? I mean, if the parents are involved in every aspect of the relationship right there from the moment where they have to influence who she dates or who you date, well, that might be a sign of trouble down the road anyway. Again, this is not a black and white answer, okay? But I'm just saying, like, there need to be a healthy dose of, you know what, the daughter or the son that you're dating has a good head on his shoulder to know who to date and has a good judgment to introduce the right person to their parents. I'll tell you up front, all the girls I've dated has met my parents. And very quickly, actually, within maybe a couple months of dating. And sometimes that's not even when they are exactly, well, it's not even when we're totally serious just yet. We're getting there, but we're not quite there yet. And you know why? It's because I'm close to my parents. I'm not close to the point where I'm like a mama's boy or a daddy's boy by any mean, but I'm close in the sense I have a good relationship with them. And therefore, most of the girls I've dated has heard about me talking about my parents. They heard some of the struggles. I've heard, you know, that I have to go to certain family events. So they have somewhat of an idea who my parents are without even meeting them. And because I have a good relationship with them, my parents don't know every person that I date, but if it's somebody that I actually really like, they probably heard something about them. And the funny thing is, because of that approach, I've never had a quote-unquote parent date. You know, a parent-girlfriend date, meaning where you go out with a specific reason to introduce your significant other to your parents. Most of my meet-the-parents kind of situations has always been very casual. Like, it'd be like, hey, babe, you know, I actually have to go down to see my dad or something for lunch. You want to go with me? Just that simple. We're just going to do lunch. Maybe he'll hang out with us while we go shopping or whatever it is. Do you mind? Like, no. Or it might be the same with my mom. You guys don't know, but my parents are divorced, so that's why I have two separate meetings, right? And it'd be the same. Sometimes I'd be like, actually, because I want to hang out with my mom occasionally, I'd be like, hey, babe, I know today I told you we'll go hiking, but would it be okay if my mom joined us? Right? Something that casual. It makes no pressure on the girl. It makes no pressure on my mom to be like, oh, let me be all motherly and ask her what is her status with you and blah, 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 and she's good with you. It's very natural to meet somebody, to enjoy the activity that you have planned already or whatever it is, right? And just meet them just like friends. So that whole meet the parents thing, I don't get it. For all of you guys out there that make a big deal out of it, I don't get it. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, sometimes it does. I mean, if you do have a formal situation like that, I had an ex-girlfriend where we did the New Year's Eve at her parents, and that would be the first time I meet them. So it was more of a formal occasion, even though the parents already knew about me because she told them about me already. But yes, I had to dress nice that day, but that was because it was New Year's. It wasn't because, you know, I was here to impress the parents. I mean, I was dressed neat, first of all, but, you know, I wasn't going overboard with dressing nice, right? The only thing she told me, like, hey, make sure we're not too touchy-feely. My dad's a bit more conservative when it comes to PDA, public display of affection. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But that's the only thing I really had to do. Did I really go out of my way to be like, let me get in with a dad? No. I definitely talked to him. I definitely engaged him. I definitely show interest in learning who he is, right? But that's the same thing I would do with anybody that I'm meeting. And I did the same thing with a mom. I brought her some orchids because my girlfriend at the time told me she loved orchids. And supposedly in her culture, it's traditional to bring gifts on New Year's Eve. So I did that because I want to show respect for the culture. But again, am I doing this to impress her parents? No. I'm doing what any normal guest would have done, right? And on that, you know, this is why you want to realize that meeting the parents is never that big of a deal. I don't know how I haven't done it, but for me, I love meeting the parents, you know. So on that, it's a wrap for this week's podcast. I've gone way longer than I expected to go because I don't know what it is about today. I'm just excited to talk to you guys. And every week again, we have a podcast. Right now, I'm doing a series on NTV Geico. So make sure to tune in next week's for, I don't know what topic we're going to go about. But make sure you tune in because I want to hear more about you guys. I'm tired of talking to you guys on myself. So leave a comment. Have fun this week. Go meet some parents. And more or less, get a life.